ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर् उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 5. Since nothing is marked here specifically, I'm reading from the Downfall of Saubhari Muni, Canto 9, Chapter 6. This is a wonderful story. Story of a very great sage called Saubhari. And Saubhari Muni was known to be a very austere person. And he performed some amazing austerity. He went below the water and performed a yogic penance there under the water. And for many, many years, he remained there under the water. And finally, something amazing happened. So this chapter describes how a great muni, Saubhari, came to understand some very interesting things about himself. The Bhagavatam is full of these amazing stories. Here, story does not mean story, which means it did not happen. Like they say, he is telling a story, it's not really true. And now there is a fight for making his story into her story. Why should it be his story? It should be her story. So it's not something like that, so frivolous. Story means, especially from the Bhagavatam, Purana, what actually happened at some point of time in this whole creation, chronicled by word of mouth sometimes, sometimes written in the Puranas, and spoken about in the Parampara, that such a thing happened somewhere along the line. This thing happened. And we have lessons to learn from that story. And those lessons, if they are learnt, then we can lead a more successful life. So normally these stories, they are related to be able to improve a person's spiritual life and his advancement and his success in life. So one thing is to hear a story just for the sake of the story. Another thing is to hear the story and understand some important points, 1, 2, 3, and take it to heart. So this is the story of a great yogi. In the transcendental realm, or in this normally religious realm, you will find characters who are yogis, who are karmis, who are jnanis, who are bhaktas. Four types of people you'll find. Karmi, jnani, yogi, bhakta. Devotee. And a devotee is the highest. That Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. That योगिनाम अपि सर्वेषां मद्गतेन अंतरात्मना श्रद्धावान भजते यो माम सामे युक्त तमो मतः. There are all types of transcendentalists, yogis. That person who has always fixed his mind on me and is serving me is the greatest. Uttama. Same yukta tumo matah. He is the topmost. So, many different types of people in this world do different types of activities according to the path that they feel comfortable to pursue. According to their natures. So this is the story of Shaubhari Muni. Before this is the story of Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni used to get angry very easily and lose all the fruit of his tapasya. And he had a great experience with a devotee, Ambarish Maharaj. So quite often you will see a mixture of yogi, jnani, karmi coming together. And it always proves that a devotee is greater. The Bhagavatam is full of stories of devotees of the Lord. And it shows great personalities who were either karmis or jnanis or yogis who become devotees. So Shaubhari Muni is the story of a great Muni who had an accident in his yogic process. People have accidents. Normally when we say accident, we mean road accident. Somebody in a vehicle going from one destination to the other, in between he has an accident. So Shaubhari Muni also had an accident. And we can hear what type of a accident he had. He was following the yogic process. So he went underwater to do meditation. He went underwater and did very gruesome meditation. And all these weeds grew around him. His skin became white and flabby. And his hair and all became very thin. But he was performing great tapasya. For a long time he was under the water. Very long time. I think thousands of years. And what happened amazingly is, he finally decided to open his eyes underwater. By the Lord's arrangement, as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw two fishes copulating. And seeing that, he became attracted. All of a sudden, he saw them having sense gratification. And his whole original, or not original, his previous ideas came into mind. And a lot of desire came into his heart. He rose out of the water. He forgot his tapasya. This is why I say it's an accident. It is a yogic accident. He stopped his yoga, stopped his tapasya, came out of the water. You know how he was looking when he came out of the water? He was looking like an alien from some other planet with all the weeds around him and all this hanging everywhere, his hair like this and dragging the weeds and his eyes so big. He went to the king's palace. He's a very powerful yogi. He's done a lot of penance. Mandata. He went to Mandata's palace. And he said that, I want to get married. And the king looked at him like this, up and down. And he knew that if he said, were you, man? What do you have with you? What fancy dress are you wearing? Are you going for some competition somewhere? Where are you coming from and whom are you asking? He could have said so many things. But he knew this person is a very powerful muni. So they don't care about their external things. So he was very diplomatic, King Mandata. He told them, I don't know, you can ask my daughters. You can ask my daughters if they want to marry you. So this muni also was very intelligent. He knew that the king is not giving proper answer. He's escaping. Then only he looked at himself and, oh, that is why I am looking like this. Who will give me his daughter for wedding? Chah, I have been inside for thousands of years. I don't know how the outside world is functioning. I have to switch on. If I want to get married, I have to come back to the earth, to this planet. So what he did immediately, he renovated his body by his tapasya, fruit of his tapasya. He became very handsome, wonderful looking body he got. Dressed very nicely, blazing effulgence, very handsome looking. He walked into the quarters of his daughters. As soon as he went inside, all the 50 daughters he had, they all held on to him and said, marry me, marry me, marry me. Please marry me. The right opposite of what Mandata thought happened with his daughters. All of them proposed to him, please marry me, please marry me. Somebody like you I want to have as a husband. He looked at all of them and said, I can marry all of you. 50 daughters he married one shot. This is the capacity he had. Just imagine, this is not a story I told you before only. It is not just a story. It happened actually. And these people have the capacity to one shot marry 50 wives. I know with one wife itself how many difficulties and problems many people will be facing. It's not easy to be a grihastha in these days. But he at one shot took 50 girls, ladies, married them. And he expanded himself into 50. And he became a husband for each one of them. Whenever he wants, he can expand. He could do anything he wants. He established an amazing house which will fly by his austerity penance. He had a flying house colony. He had fountains, he had lakes, he had valleys, mountains, everything, flowers, orchards, everything in his place. And that will fly from one place to the other. And not only from here to Hyderabad and back. It will go to any part of the universe. And he enjoyed as much as he wanted. Then, finally, Shaubari Muni, one fine day, he was sitting and thinking, what is happening to my life? All of a sudden, intelligence came back to him. Then he was wondering, actually I left all these things and I wanted to become detached. I went to do penances. I became a yogi. And now what has happened? I have come back to that same position like a fool. I got cheated by the powerful Maya energy, external energy of the Lord. And in this way, he started very seriously thinking about his life. And then he became renounced again and left. Now, the reason why he fell down, that is also mentioned. Why should a yogi, the question should be, why should a yogi who is doing something away from society, not interacting with anybody, on his own peacefully doing some penance. Why does this happen to him? We can understand that Vishwamitra Muni, he was also doing his penance somewhere, and Menaka came. He heard Menaka's anklets and he opened his eyes, became attracted to Menaka, and in this way he left his penance. But this, he was inside the water, he saw some fishes, not even a human being, some fish. How could he easily come out and fall down from his position? So the history is discussed here by Shukadeva Goswami. It's discussed that Shaubhari Muni committed an aparad offense to Garuda. See. And therefore, because he committed this offense to Garuda, he fell down from his yoga, fell down from his spiritual position. When we commit offense to devotees of the Lord, then our spiritual life is affected. For people who are not spiritually oriented, it doesn't mean anything. But for people who value their spiritual advancement, it means a lot. To be having an accident on the path of your spiritual life is the worst thing. To have a sinful activity done and suffer the reaction for sinful activity is another thing. But to commit aparad, offense to a devotee of the Lord is very dangerous. Because you will never be able to make spiritual progress. And the aim of human life is to make spiritual progress. Unfortunately, we may not be educated in that. So we may not even value that. Because first of all, what is spiritual fall down? I have not even got up yet from my material life. So where is the question of fall down? Some people may think. But for a spiritualist, it is very, very important. So we must be very careful when we deal with devotees of the Lord. The devotee may not take it seriously, but the Lord will take it very seriously. If you have done anything against my devotee, then I will punish you. He may not do anything. He may not even worry. He may not even bother. This is what happened with Durvasa Muni. These munis, they are all persons who have not yet become devotees. So many times they can't control themselves. Durvasa Muni, what did he do? He came to visit Maharaj Ambarish, emperor, king of the whole universe. He came to meet him. And he did not come casually, ordinarily. He came with so many of his disciples. And Ambarish Maharaj was observing a fast. And it was time for him to break the fast. It is called Parana. The benefit of observing the fast comes to you when you break the fast properly. When we observe Ekadashi, on the day of Dwadashi, when Ekadashi ends, we break our fast within a particular time. So you will see on the calendar it is written, break fast from 6:30 to 10 o'clock. Within that we break the fast. So that we get the benefit of the Ekadashi. Similarly, when Durvasa Muni came to Ambarish Maharaj, it was at that time, Parana time. So Durvasa Muni was told by Ambarish Maharaj, please take your bath and come, I will keep prasadam ready for you. Today is Dwadashi. So then he was wondering, I am the host, how I can eat before the guest eats? Atithi Devo Bhava, I must look after him first. So, but at the same time, it is time for me to break the fast. But if I miss the time, all the penance that I have did observed the fast will go to waste. So he asked his council, Brahmanas, what should I do? So the Brahmanas told him, never mind, you have observed Nirjala fast, didn't even take water. So if you take a little water alone, that is as good as breaking the fast. Don't eat, simply take a drop of water. That way you have broken the fast and you can wait, and after he eats you can eat. This way both will be managed. They are very sharp Brahmanas. So he said okay, and he took a little water. But Durvasumuni came to know about it because he has mystic power. Oh, the king has eaten even before the guest has eaten. So he became very angry. When he came there, he was furious. So angry at Ambarish Maharaj. You don't observe etiquette properly. You don't know how to welcome a sannyasi, a muni, a sage. You are a very proud grahastha. You think you are a king. You think you know everything. Just see what I'll do to you. He pulled out two of his hair, dashed it to the ground, chanting some mantra, and a massive demon came out of it. One asura came looking fierce, and he attacked Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj, he simply folded his hands, prayed to Krishna. Whatever is supposed to happen for the big mistake I have done, I deserve it. Whatever I am supposed to suffer, I shall suffer. I shall suffer. Never mind. He stood like that meditating on Krishna. That's all he did. Always dependent on Krishna, although he is a king. What happened? Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord came. It cut off the head of that demon. Finished the demon. And then it turned towards Durvasumuni and started chasing Durvasumuni. The Lord Sudarshan Chakra. Durvasumuni started running. You, what happened? Chakra is coming behind me. Sudarshan Chakra. And he started running. Save me. He didn't know where to run. Run all the way to Kailash. Went to Shiva. Shiva said, oh, this is not the correct address, Baba. This is Sudarshan Chakra. You came to the wrong address. Please go to Vaikuntha. Go and see Vishnu. Wrong address. Oh my gosh. Again he ran. He ran all the way at a tremendous speed. The Sudarshan Chakra was right behind him, burning his skin on the backside. Very powerful. He ran and ran and ran and fell at the feet of Vishnu. Narayana, save me. Your Sudarshan Chakra is coming behind me. And Vishnu glorified, lifted Durvasumuni. My dear Brahmana, very happy to see you. How wonderful, what a great person you are, performing austerities, everything. Then Durvasumuni told him, this is what happened. And the Sudarshan Chakra is chasing me. So, the Lord told him, Aham bhakta paradino hi ashvatantra ivadvajaha sadhu bir grishta hradayo bhaktair bhakta janapriya. My dear Muni, O Dvija, Brahmana, Aham bhakta paradino hi ashvatantra ivadvija. I am actually not independent in front of my devotees. They have control over me. So I cannot stop the Sudarshan Chakra. I am very sorry. Go back to my devotee. He only can do something for you. You should have known this then only. You didn't have to take this journey. And he explained how I am always thinking of my devotees and my devotees are always thinking of me. See. So, glorified his devotee to Durvasa Muni. Till then, the Sudarshan Chakra was waiting because it is Narayana. It did not do anything to him because this is Vaikuntha. And as soon as he sent him back, he said, go back. Ambarish Maharaj only can do everything for you. Oh gosh, he went back all the way. It seems he traveled for 6 months up to Vaikuntha at a tremendous speed, using all his mystic power. And 6 months he came back. 1 year he took. 1 year he took. Came back and fell at the feet, with the Sudarshan Chakra still chasing him. Fell at the feet of Ambarish Maharaj and held Ambarish Maharaj's feet and said, save me. I never knew you are so powerful. Then Ambarish Maharaj immediately told him, you have done nothing wrong. I don't take any offense for anything you have done. There's nothing you have done. As soon as he forgave him, the Sudarshan Chakra disappeared. And Ambarish Maharaj does not know anything about Sudarshan Chakra chasing him. He never ordered anything like that. But he was protected by the Lord. And then Durvasa Muni understood the meaning of a devotee. What powers a devotee has without himself knowing about it. How the Lord protects his devotee. So he came to know and he glorified Maharaj Ambarish. So this is a story of a jnani and a devotee. Shaubhari Muni is a story of a yogi and a devotee. And you have the story of Haridas Thakur. A materialist attacks him. We heard how Vishwamitra Muni left his penance and went behind Menaka. Haridas Thakur was from a Muslim family. Just now Haridas Thakur's disappearance day passed. So we'll speak a few words on that also. Haridas Thakur, he was born in a Muslim family. He appeared even before Lord Chaitanya appeared, very far back. He is called Namacharya Haridas Thakur. Means the head of the department, the dean of the faculty of the chanting of the holy name, Prabhupada explains in this book. He is such a great Nama Acharya. He will chant every day 192 rounds of japa. 192 rounds of japa. We take minimum 2 hours to chant 16 rounds. How much each one chants, sometimes they chant japa, they know how long it takes. If you divide 192 by 16, so many 2 hours, you will see it is more than 24 hours. You cannot finish in one day. But Haridas Thakur would chant nearly 23 hours. Little time he will spend for his personal things. Washing himself, taking a bath, cooking, eating food and everything. Get back and chant Hare Krishna. He was so absorbed in chanting the holy name of Krishna. Because he was from a Muslim family, the Muslims became very angry with him. You are a Musliman. And you have adopted this Hindu cult. And all the Hindus were coming to see him. Such a great, wonderful saint. So the local Muslim businessman and the priest and all of them together, they plotted. They said, what a big saint. We send a woman, everything will be over. So this fellow paid to a prostitute. Your duty, I'll pay you money if you come back successfully even more. Your duty is to make this person fall down from his spiritual position of chanting the holy name. He just, after all, Muslim, we know him very well. Simply pretending something. Just finish him. And gave her money. So this lady dressed very provocatively, very grandly, and went to Haridas Thakur's kutir. Very bold you should be to go to somebody like that. And she told Haridas Thakur, "My dear Thakurji, I have come to be satisfied by you. I am very much interested in you." So Haridas Thakur said, "Please wait, I'll surely meet your requirement. But I have taken a vow to chant the holy name, so many rounds of japa every day. After I finish, I will get to you." So she sat down there and made all sorts of actions. But Haridas Thakur chanted Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This way he chanted very beautifully. So pure was his chanting. So fixed. As he kept chanting, this lady was wondering, what is this person? I'm sitting in front of him. He's chanting the holy name, and then after some time, he said, "Excuse me, I'll just finish my daily duties and come." Then she waited again. Then he came back and he said, again started chanting. Then the day got over. Then he said, "Surely you come tomorrow. Today somehow I'm very busy today. You have seen what I'm doing. I have to keep up my vow. So today somehow, tomorrow I'll find time definitely. Please come." He told her like this. Then she came again the next day, better dressed. Again he made her sit down and he chanted Hare Krishna throughout. Same thing happened on that day also. I'm very, very sorry today I have not been able to attend to you. It's very bad of me. I have not shown proper etiquette. Please excuse me. Come tomorrow again." By the time this prostitute was hearing Harinam for 2 days, from such a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur, her mind already started changing. Next day she came, she actually started appreciating Haridas Thakur and his saintly quality. What a fixed person, chanting the holy name of the Lord with the immediate opportunity for sense gratification. He's so absorbed. So absorbed, such a saintly person I have been sent to do harm to. Cha-cha, what a lady I am. I must take shelter of this person. He should become my guru and instruct me. She surrendered to Haridas Thakur and said, "This is what I came for. I was sent like this for this reason. I am a very sinful lady. But after having your association for 2-3 days, my mind has completely changed. I want to be like you. I want to chant the holy name and fix my mind on Krishna like you. Please instruct me. Accept me as your disciple. Will you please accept me?" Haridas Thakur told her, "You remain here. I am leaving from here. You chant in front of this Tulasi. Whatever wealth, whatever you have collected by this means, distribute it to the poor people. Come here without anything. Right? Sit and chant the holy name." That prostitute was completely converted. She shaved up her head, gave up all her wealth, came there and started chanting Hare Krishna and completely changed. This is a power of the pure devotee of the Lord who chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this is a materialistic person coming to a devotee. We saw a jnani coming to a devotee. We saw a yogi and a devotee. Always a devotee is victorious, because Krishna is always with his devotee. A devotee always depends on Krishna and has full faith in the name of Krishna, in the holy name of Krishna. So, if we simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you will see that you will be very secure. You will get all protection from Krishna. You may not see it, but you may get full protection from Krishna. If you simply have faith in the holy name. Haridas Thakur, he had so much faith in the holy name. This is one instance. On another instance, the local Qazi, the Muslim priest, he became very envious of Haridas Thakur because people respect him so much. Many, many people are coming to see him and take his blessings. And he's a Muslim. Are, what is so great about him? He doesn't have money, he doesn't have anything with him. But he's so well respected. So he became envious. And he said, this useless Muslim fellow, he is spoiling our religion. Now many people will take up Hinduism amongst our Muslims. He became angry. And he went and told the king, the Nawab, such and such a fellow is very dangerous. We should do something to him. So the king said, okay, bring him. Let's talk to him. So Haridas Thakur happily went to the king. All the others who were all his followers became very afraid and they moaned. But Haridas Thakur was very happy. He went to the king. The king said, give explanation, Baba, what are you doing? He is complaining about you, the Qazi, our high priest. So he said, my lord, there is nothing like Muslim. There is nothing like Hindu. There is only one God. And chanting the name of God pleases you, pleases him, and this is the highest religion. He explained very nicely why he is chanting the holy name. King became sort of satisfied. He said, yeah, it sounds very good. He's a simple man. He's not dangerous. Then some others who were hearing also thought, yeah, he's a saint. Nice man. He's not got any political intention. He's not going to do any harm. But the Qazi became angry. Oh, you don't know what he's going to do? You see what will happen to you. I am the high priest. I'm telling you, this fellow will spoil the entire Muslim clan. He should be punished for what he is doing. Then only others will learn lesson from me. He should take the 22 marketplaces and beat him up. You don't know what you're saying. And he convinced the king. The king said, okay, it is troubling you so much because he was not bothered. Take him and beat him up. Go. In all the 22 marketplaces. So, before that, the king said once more to the Haridas Thakur, why don't you simply give up these things and read the Quran and quote something from the Quran for me so that I don't have to punish you because you look like a saintly man. Haridas Thakur said, whatever you may do to me, even cut my body and into pieces, I will not stop chanting Krishna's name. So the Chand Qazi said, see, I told you, this fellow is like that. He's disobeying you. Beat him up in so many marketplaces. So immediately they dragged him, they got soldiers, they dragged him to each marketplace and they whipped him. Whipped Haridas Thakur. And the order was, whip him till there is one breath left, about to die. Till then you hit him. So they did that. Watching Haridas Thakur being whipped mercilessly, dragged on the road from place to place and whipped in 22 marketplaces he was whipped. The people started crying. Some of them fell at the feet of the sentry, the soldiers, and said, please, please don't do this to him. They cried and said, don't do this to him. Don't whip him. They threw them away. They went to rich people and said, please give your money and bribe them and tell them not to. This is a saint. He is a great personality. Don't whip him like this. It's very bad for our whole village. So rich people went to him and said, how much money you want? Stop eating him. They said, get lost. Our order is to kill him. But they were whipping and whipping. They were running and coming and whipping him. Because Haridas Thakur kept on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And they were sweating, so tired. But Haridas Thakur is chanting. He is not affected. His backside is fully torn. Skin is beaten black and blue and blood is pouring out. All over his body there are marks. All over his face, everywhere the whiplashes. But he's continuing to chant Krishna's names and thinking of Krishna deeply. Then the sentries will tell him, oh Fakir, why don't you die? If you don't die, they will come and kill us. The Qazi, I'm very afraid of him. He'll complain to the king and we will be killed. Please die. They told Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur said, he immediately prayed to the Lord, to Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, don't punish these people. They don't know what they are doing. Don't be angry with them. Show your mercy to them. And he prayed for these two sentries. Then he told them, okay, I am going to die. And he went into a trance. Became unconscious. So they knew that, oh, now he is dead. So they dragged him. Everybody was crying, Haridas Thakur is dead. But actually he was not dead. They dragged him, brought him to the king. See, he is dead. And the Qazi became very happy, very good. But the king was still having some feeling for this person. Give him a burial, he said. Bury him nicely. King, something he had, although he is a Muslim king, some little bit feeling he had. The Qazi said immediately, don't bury him, he will become very famous. Everybody will go around his tomb. They will build something around it. Don't give him any place anywhere. Throw him in the Ganges. Don't pay any respect to his body. So nasty he was. So the king said, okay, you can do what you feel is best. Because he is the priest. So he told the sentry, throw him. So they took Haridas Thakur, swung him and threw him into the Ganges. Before that, the king had told, if he survives his punishment, he must be a real saint. But now he is dead. Throw him in the Ganges. Even the sentries were thinking, it's a great saint. They know that because they were whipping him for 22 marketplaces. But they were afraid of their position. So they threw him. As soon as he threw in the Ganges, Haridas Thakur was floating in the Ganges. After some time, they could see that Haridas Thakur hit the shore. When he hit the shore, he suddenly got up and started chanting again, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, and walking on the bank of the Ganges with his hands raised. Then the sentry saw from here and said, Hare, he is again chanting. He must be a real saint. This person, because we know how we whipped him. Enough for 10 people to die. So much we have tired ourselves whipping him. Now he is walking around happily with all that on his backside. This person is a saint. He is a very great personality. They went behind him. By the time all the brahmanas and all those followers he had, they came to him and started holding his feet and crying, what all they did to you? So Haridas Thakur told them, don't worry, don't think about that much. I am okay. Actually, I heard the blasphemy of a Vaishnava, which is very bad. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has given me only a token punishment. Hearing the blasphemy of a Vaishnava is so bad. I did that. I was forced to hear. Therefore, I got a punishment. I am actually not a very good quality Vaishnava. Therefore, I got this punishment. But I am happy to chant again. Again, he chanted, chanted, chanted. So the sentries came to him and said, "You are still alive? My gosh, you are a saint." They fell at his feet. "Please, come to meet the king. He wants to meet you." So he went to the king again, Haridas Thakur. No fear. And the king also paid obeisances to him. This was the meaning of a devotee chanting Krishna's names and how he is protected. This happened before Lord Chaitanya appeared. Lord Chaitanya not there yet. Lord Chaitanya then appeared. Then there is a leela of Lord Chaitanya in Shiva's Angan, in the house of Shiva's Thakur. At that time, Lord Chaitanya gave his Mahaprakash Darshan. He showed in his four-handed form that I am the same Krishna, the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, the owner, the maintainer, possessor of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattas sarvam pravartate. And he gave darshan to everybody. At that time, Haridas Thakur came to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya. As soon as he saw Haridas Thakur, he said, "Haridas, I know they whipped you in 22 marketplaces. And because you prayed to me not to do anything to the sentries, I could not do anything to them to stop them from doing it. But instead, I took all the lashes on my back. See," and he showed, the Lord showed his backside full of whip lashes on his back. "My dear Haridas, you are so dear to me, I can never see you harmed like that. This is why you didn't feel any pain." He revealed to him, and Haridas Thakur started crying. Fell down holding the lotus feet of the Lord. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally revealed to Haridas Thakur that he was protected by Lord Chaitanya. Even before he appeared. So these are stories to illustrate how Krishna protects his devotees. If you chant Krishna's name, you may not know. But Krishna is protecting you from so many dangers you may not even know. Rest assured, 100%, that if you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, with faith, the name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. You see, Namo Namina Abedaha. No difference between the name and Krishna. So if you sincerely, with great faith, chant Krishna's name, you will be protected from so many dangers you don't even know are affecting you. So please chant Krishna's name with great faith. Naam naam akari bahuda nijasarva shakti. All the Lord's shakti is invested in the name. Very powerful. If you simply chant the holy name of the Lord, no other mantra you need to chant. Carefully, without offenses, if you chant Krishna's name, you don't need to do anything else in Kali Yuga. Greatest religious principle, greatest tapasya, greatest yoga, greatest karma, everything is invested in that. So please chant Krishna's name and you will become karmibhyo adhiko yogi, jnanibhyo adhiko matah, tasmat yogi bhavarjuna. Greater than the karmi, greater than the jnani, greater than the tapasi is that yogi who is my devotee. You will become the greatest yogi if you chant Krishna's names. Don't try to be a yogi, don't try to be a karmi, don't try to be a jnani. Simply chant Hare Krishna and become the greatest yogi, greatest jnani, greatest karmi, bhakta of the Lord. Om Tat Sat, Srila Prabhupada ki.